in the appendix to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We will continue our studies in this book. The last time we considered verse 4 to 10 of this chapter, and it was Paul who continued his exhortation to the church of Corinth on orderliness and modesty. Now, which I'm going to call the share 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4 to 10. And that was Paul, a trust who sent his church and our church families, my Sunday, the Roman Yoma, Sunday, and they are one of the Roma, a swimming, a swimming, and then of course, who are not all church. And that fact, this is my piece of bomb, and ever a story, and this was all the catalogue, so all coming. Let's keep going. So we'll continue from verse 11 as we end there, verse 10. So the same subject, orderliness and modesty, and this will be part 3. Let's start with verse 11. Nevertheless, neither is a man without a woman, neither the woman without a man in the Lord. And if we remember, was Paul in the previous verses, I think from verse 4 coming, all that he was trying to teach is about to emphasize the subordination of the woman to man, as it was said, order of God's creation and also the God's arrangement. But from this verse and the next, we show that the leading position God has placed on man at the head of the woman does not make the man different from the man. And so that the man will feel that he's better than the woman. And so this is his purpose in the first verse 11 and also the next verse. The Apostle Paul also actually answered verse 11 and verse 8. And so, Or the Bible is very similar. And Pastor Yamuko, in his own Amma Bema, so nobody over any. And no angels of them are very strong, pussy over. And see, so what Richard said, them are any bar, or no, it's a fantasy over. And when all they can all day, Professor Bema, who said, and just said, when you have much more on it. And so it says, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man. So what he says is that the man and the woman, both of them, they need each other. They depend on each other. They are not in any way independent of each other. And again, as I said last week, that Apostle Paul is looking at the wife and the husband, and also men and women in the church. That's how we have to think about this. And not just, again, last time I said that, that's how the world ought to be. But you know, the world at large don't care about this. They rather kick against the of course arrangement for the world. But for Christians, but was Paul is talking to Christians. They were the church at Corinth and to us. So that's how we're looking at it. That how God has ordered us to live as if we become those who are married, husband and wife, who are Christians, and also those who are yet to become husband and wives, that's how God has ordered it for us, and also in the life of the church. That's how God wants it to be. And in the life of his people. And so, and that is how God made it initially when he created man. But as I said last week, man, the world has tried to turn things upside down. So, what Apostle Paul said, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man. It shows the core, how the man and the woman depend on each other. And the thing is that although God, man and woman, God made us for different role in this relation, so that man has his role though in the head, the woman has who are God to subordinate also she has a role. The man cannot take the place of the woman, the woman ought to take the place of the man. Each have their roles, and each role serves a unique purpose for creation. You see, God did not just create man and woman for nothing, and the world that seemed to say so, but God didn't do that. And his purpose also, one of the purposes that both the man and the woman will be in need of each other to accomplish God's purpose of creation, his creation plan for the human race will depend on this, and it is his will that it should be, so that he uses his creation to accomplish his own purpose. This is how he has done it, and then he has arrangement for that, you see. I'm sure, I think last time I said something, it is only the human rational beings, again, because Satan fell with other angels, so they also. So, like rational beings that we have issue. Look at the animal world. Fishes in the sea. Fish wouldn't want to live on the land. I'm sure those animals in the desert don't want to live in the thick forest. They have been all made, and by instinct, they know how and where they ought to live. You have animals, they only live in homes. You have animals, they live on trees. You have animals, they have people on mist and all that. Ever since, they have always been doing that. Wherever they go, and if rational beings, man, and again, the fallen angels, and who seek to be wiser than what God has put up. Again, you know, so this brought the fall. How did man fall into sin? Thinking that we ought to be wiser than God. And that's how the world has been carried on by one way men who do not want the will of God to be done. But as I said, God has a plan for the human race, and this arrangement is part of it. So he says, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man. The main kind of say, Yanku Paul saw what we are seeing, or Shishaya, or Shisha, or we are seeing. So always we find this with man, with the rational beings as man. But as Apostle Paul continues, God has a purpose for us. And here it is told us in this arrangement if God has made.
Nevertheless, neither the man without the man, the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. In the Lord. That's what I said. Was Paul speak to believers. And in the Lord, yeah, you know, only true believers are those who are in the Lord. Meaning they have believed in Him and they live by Him. His life is in them. They are all who are led by His Spirit. So Apostle Paul had in mind, as a Christian husband and wife, and also in the Church of Jesus Christ, how men and women are supposed to relate and where things should stand. So in the Lord, then that nevertheless, neither the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. Let me get Apostle Paul. Let me get that. Yes, in this year, our reform, Christian for me, our reform. And now, sorry, no, this is my banner member until Asana or can. Or share no more, because I show you. Or some of that Sarah is sweet, you know. We have a form of the writing. I mean, because we are so well writing, we are your JD in Papa or Christo. Christo, I didn't want, why didn't you want him? No more, baby. So Apostle Paul refers here to those in the Lord, and that is his purpose, talking about Christians. And these words here, that both the man and the woman are co-dependent of each other, it applies to the larger church, not just the husband and wife. All believers, both women, man and men and women, are one in Christ. We are in one body, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all part of the body of Christ. And that all the blessings of salvation, either to the man or to the woman, is the same. How do God justify sinners? It's only one means, through Christ. When we come to believe in Him, when He makes us His people, and when He brings us, He awakens us by His Spirit, and gives us life and grants us the grace to be able to believe and to trust in Him. Both men and women, the same way. There's no difference how we come to the Lord. The Lord brings us Himself in the same way. And that forgiveness of sin, we receive it the same way. The gift to serve, we receive in the same way. Only that, even in the gift God has in His Word given us, men, special gift to men, and also some to women, which it is observed in the scripture. But when it comes to the blessings of salvation, the Lord receives us. We have the same grounds as Christ. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither born nor free, there is neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ. See, so that's the application of us. We are all one in Christ. We depend, we are all in Christ. As elsewhere, you, the human body, some of us will be the hands, the foot, and any part of the body, but as a body of believers, we are one in Christ. So here also, the husband and the wife, we are, if they are believers, they are one in Christ. And despite their physical co-dependence, in Christ also, it also applies in the spiritual sense. In Christ, they are dependent on one another, because we are all part of the body of Christ. So we see that the arrangement of God ought to be as it is, because even when it comes to a spiritual aspect, though we all receive the same blessings of salvation, yet the distinction of a man and a woman is not omitted, or I mean, it's not removed. Though He said, male and female, we are all one in Christ, doesn't mean that there's no male and female in the church. No. You know, those who say that women can be pastors, they call this verse, oh, we are all one in Christ. No, that's not. Then there should be any husband and wife. Yes, because we are all one in Christ. But that's not what the Bible says. It's talking about the blessings of salvation. We all receive the same forgiveness, the same grace of pardon, and it is through the washing of blood of Christ, the shed of His shed blood, that we are all forgiven and brought into that privilege of God's children. We are all adopted into the family of God through Christ, and we all have the same privilege. But then, it doesn't take away the arrangement of man and woman as we live, both as a husband and wife, but also in the church, arrangement for the church. Then we can say, some of us become of Galatians chapter 3,
Galatians chapter 28, you know. We must know.
The Bible said, about this to know,
the gift, you know, passages in the first Corinthians here, we have the gift of the Spirit, you know, But this, all these things, the headship of the man over the woman have all these implications. That is why it is so. I don't think those who say that, well, a woman can be head of a church or a pastor or elder, whatever. One of the things that I often ask myself, you know that there were very many committed women, very faithful women who helped the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Mary Magdalene, Mary and Martha. But he never called any of them to be preachers. The 12 he chose were men, the 70 were men. Christ never appointed any woman preacher, you see. And he upheld that he is the God of all creation. And it is him that we follow. And that so that whatever was Paul wrote afterwards by inspiration, it was from this. The church and all that. So what Apostle Paul is teaching is what Christ himself upheld. And he never dishonored women, even himself, he had a mother, but the order of arrangement which God has made for our existence as men and women, it should never change, even if we are Christians. Yes, so, for as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Right, the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. You know, originally, woman was made out of man. You know, for the rib of man, woman was made. But then, that was the first man and the first woman. Continues in the propagation of the human race, it is by the woman that man is conceived and brought into this world. See? So this Apostle Paul is showing that though from man that God made the man, but continuously man also is from the woman. You see the picture? So though it is true, man is supposed to be the head, yet for man to come out to this world after the creation through the woman, that man also comes. You see, man is not we don't come by ourselves again. So again, he's trying to emphasize to show that there should be no pride in man. You see, though he's been given the head or the leading role, God has placed the man to both man and woman in each other. For the world to replenish as God said that Adam and Eve should replenish the world. It did not depend only on the man. It was it was shared responsibility. And that is how the world has continued to be populated by the human race because of this codependence of both the man and the woman that has self-sustained the world as God has wished it to be. Apostle Paul, the Oka Waha, he said, Samson, Oban, so, if you bear man, not, I said, Samson, bear man, if you Oban. Let me cast the attorney said, Yakupo, we are so body ban. And the question is, bear man, who are Yakupo, a boy, but fear. But, and if you honor, say, bear man, we are here, Oban, and Oban. So that, though Oban, if you bear man, would have buy him. Say, bear man, we are see after that, you know, Oba is not Oba. So, Oba ni bema nyaka hone ma, ni papa we are see. Indeed,
So he's saying this, as I said, to also to tell, so that there shouldn't be any pride. Because if you look at his words, before this verse, you say, oh, and then man seems to be somebody. But man is nobody. We are all sinners. As I said the other day, both women and men, we are all sinners now. And that we all need mercy. There's no speciality. We all need mercy. And God sustaining us. We all need to be forgiven of our sins and to be brought into that family of God's children. And we are all in need of the forgiveness of Christ, so that there's no need of pride. And that is how God has made it. But all things, of course, I say that, and you know, I say that, Obama, if you bear my man, I should be Obama. Now, you know, all creation and every arrangement, that's what it means. All creation, both the man and the woman and everything God has made and his arrangement he has made regarding them are from God. Everything belongs to him. You see, so that though the woman came out of the man, and then subsequently man also came out of the woman, yet it is God's own arrangement that everything belongs to him, so that everything must be according to his will. Even if we can ask, God has made so many arrangements for this world. Why are some people intelligent and others not? I'm sure when we were in school, I mean, there are some people, whatever you do to them, nothing goes into their head. It's not by their, they cannot really, they may get a few things, but there are some others also. Just to teach them once, they pick it up. And many inequalities in the world. I'm sure we know. Why are some rich, some poor? Because it's God who gives riches, you see. Whether people, the person is a sinner or not, it's God who allows to be rich in the world, you see. And it is He also who allows people to be poor. We know that people may become rich by their own evil way. People can also become poor by their own mismanagement. But whichever way they become, it is God who allowed them to be. And it is He who has arranged everything. But all things, of course, you see, this shows that nobody should be proud by whatever, wherever God has placed us. And even the opportunities we have, that is why believers have got to realize that all that I am and all that I have should serve the Lord, should be to the glory of His praise. You see, but unbelievers don't think so. My, it is me, it is mine, it is my time, it is my, I decide to do what I please. No, all things of God. You see, whatever arrangement God has made for this world and how things are going, whether others are enjoying, others are not enjoying, all things are of God. Look at countries, nations, you know, this world, not all nations have the same resources. Some have oil, some have gold, some have, somehow manpower, that have intelligence, that technology they are advancing. Others, they may not have, even if they have, they don't have the opportunity even to develop where they have been placed in the part of the world. But all things are of God, you see. So that if man knows this thing and believe it, then whatever gift and talent they have, they use to serve, but no, they use to turn against him. You see, the wise. The most intelligent use their gift to turn against the Lord. And when people are privileged, they use to turn against, rather become worse by it, you see. But all things are of God, and He tells us that we should rather be grateful for where He has placed us, and so that we will use it to be serving as believers. So, in this relation to the man, it means that there also be this sense of pride, and also that the man who is then the woman, and in marriage or in the church. So you see that those I repeat myself because it's a common thing that people think that it's normal. how churches, some churches think that women should be pastors in churches, you see. It's against God's will. It is clear in scripture. God has made his arrangement. The church belongs to Christ. I gave an example that Christ never appointed women preachers. The 12 apostles were men. The 70 were men. They were faithful women who followed Christ, who served, who helped him. They were never preachers. You see, you know that they want that woman of Samaria. You know, she just wanted to tell people this is what Christ has done. I'm sure if I told her today she would have been a good preacher by these people, their standards. But she wanted to tell people what Christ has done. All the city came to see Christ. But she wasn't a preacher. Christ never made her a preacher. You see? And people have to get this thing. Because that's what the Bible teaches. You see? That's what the Bible teaches. The headship of man over the woman has this implication. That is why men are those that are appointed as the head of the church, the pastors, the elders of the church, not women. It isn't a God hates women, as I've just explained. Women have their role in the church. You see, if you look at the letters of Apostle Paul, you see how he recommends many of the women and how they helped him in the ministry. You see, both men and women who helped in the spread of the gospel. You see, so that is the, all things are of God. So there's no sense, there shouldn't be any sense of pride in this sense. The American said, Apostle Paul said, so Ben Obafi Ben Manu is free of Ben. And you have to share. If you say, if you ask, if you ask, so they are saying, because my we are seeing our own apostle. I don't know why they say, a bit more oil, Obani Bema, she showed there, you know. One of them said, Obani, sir, said, if you more, if you say, even about where you move, if you saw that, or said, embarrassed where they are so poor and ask us for a penny for them. A good year, what was she? You know, which we shall say, because apostles, they used to. Apostles, no four, no mere 12, no bank account. In a 17, no small sum of copy, it's not a bank account. Now, because Obana, Samaritan woman, I used to do Jenny, but I can't get the government said, oh my gosh, I'm a preacher, I said, but you said, oh, what they will say, oh my God, I'm with you, Christo, I don't know, I'm not going to be a young. And so, this is why I know some kind of one, so I know it's all very nice story. And a young couple shared what she said, sir, there was a transform, I'm not sorry, and then our rear, their money of our, and take more our room. They are looking here, and who company are to action. On one, I put here and who share for our stories, and that's all by the answers. On putting and who want us, you see, and as I said, the one, let God be true, let all men be lies. And who want to pray for an opinion transfer. So on open us up an idea, a human. And you know, this idea is the worldly agenda. You see, and we are seeing our final ambitions already. But we know that even in the world, when God's arrangement, as I said last week, that is undermined, human dignity is degraded. You see, this issue went on to blend male and female homosexuals. And now they have so many genders. It's from this. So that there is man and woman. Everybody can claim to be whatever he or she is. No. It comes from this, how far it goes. People, when they try to follow some ideas, this how far it goes. Oh, that one is not good, but what about the other ones? You see, all this, all over the world, they are trying to, and I become laws in countries that if you don't agree to this, you have a problem. That if somebody is a woman, you want to call herself, whatever, gender should be allowed, and a man too, if he wants to go to the gender, he should be allowed, because they don't want to uphold the arrangement of God, where men have to be as men, and women have to be men. But God's world never changes. Men change themselves, and God never changes. God is still the same, and the word He has spoken, it should be there. It is always true. It will never change what He has said. So it is up to us, you see. And that's what the Bible says. Verse 13. Judge in yourself. Is it commonly that the woman pray unto God and come in? So you know, Apostle Paul, when he started some verses before, he had given many reasons and arguments to affirm the subordination of the woman to man. So here he returns again to the exhortation he started, why women, Christian women at Corinth, ought to cover their head when attending public worship, as it depicts their subordination to women and to men, and also to man, and also it shows modesty. Well, that was the woman dressing. And so that for a woman to throw away the veil and to go to the public place of worship is like showing disrespect, and also become arrogant. She doesn't want to show that she is a woman. That's what the picture is. I'm sure you know cross-dressing. You know, women dressing like good men, and men dressing like women. All that little bit. It shows immodesty. You see, and last week I said about tight dresses and women and men dressing to show their bodies and exposing themselves and all, they are all immodesty. And Christians ought not to dress like that. So in the context of the Corinth, veil is, and you know, their veil isn't just some small cup, scarf. It covers, it's a whole thing. It covers the whole head. It's a long veil. It's not like how people are women. Put some scarf on their head. No, it says the whole veil that covers them. Some even said that if it covers almost so they leave a small portion for it to be seen. I don't know how, but it may be true, because it wasn't just a small scarf. How you know our mothers put scarf on their head and tie? No, that's not what we're talking about. It's proper veiling. You know how the veil is. So, and that distinguishes women. Apparent as women and show their femininity. So is it judge in yourself? Is it commonly that a woman pray unto God and covet? They make an example of Paul. What church will be to my people in British said, also God or church will share them. I see in that. What comes to our own and people will be that some sort of native young girl of the idea or church. Because if it's a Corinth, you know, a man and dress, you know, a woman with his head, just on me a man. And then, on a chest, some of us are sorry, I'm Christian for some of us. And yes, I presented him over some person, a master of yes, I'm a person of Tom, a Catasso, and a true. Ah, a treasure, a woman, some extra, sa, and so yeah. So, Judge in yourself, is it commonly that a woman pray unto God and covet? So here he appeals to the Corinthian believers that they ought to realize that for a woman to pray or covet is immodesty. So that is commonly, it is modest, it's a sign of a real picture of a woman. So that when she comes to church, and I tell her, she ought to maintain that modest appearance of women. She ought not to throw that modest appearance away. So I said they should do themselves, they should look at it. Is it not proper for woman to pray to God in that condition where she shows that she's a woman and not a man? So he asked them, because there will be many reasons. And he asked them, and yes, they will know that it's proper, because that is the dress, the deportment of women in public places at Corinth, which was right, which the Christians should not throw it away. I mentioned before that covering at Corinth by women, head covering, was a mark of subordination to man. So yeah, the apostle just reminded them that women at Corinth ought to adhere or ought to follow that modesty in public question. Maybe as somebody may think, well, when they are Christians, maybe that custom doesn't bind them. And the apostle said, no, this is how women are supposed to dress. And being a Christian doesn't throw away that standard. It ought to be in the same way. I read from verse 14 to 15. Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. So here was Paul, at first, that appealed to their own reason and here to common sense. Commonly at Corinth, don't you accept that women with long hair is something which is proper, and if men put on that appearance, it's improper? Again, he's talking about that social custom which exists at Corinth. That if it is that we look at this. Because in the other verses, he has spoken about if the woman will not be covered, then let her cut her hair. Because it's men that cut their hair, you see, so that let the woman also cut her hair, which is the worst thing that the woman will not do. And she will say that it's not comely, it's not beautiful to the glory of a woman if she has a long hair, for her hair is given to her for a covering. So they are saying that if you go and give women long hair for a covering, but again, he's not saying that women everywhere should appear so, because for women to show their subordination to men, the Bible, in the scriptures, it has not described to them that they should put on veil to show that. It's not what it's not. So last week I showed the verses that show what the Bible speaks about modesty, and we read it, the verses that call for women to be modest, dressed in sobriety, and depict even that they are the authority. But what I was for is saying, even I gave you an example about the people of Israel. Even up today, men go to worship with a covered head. They put veils, coverings on their head and go, and it's accepted. And even in the Old Testament, the priest, the high priest, and all that, they have to put on a covering. So you see, and Apostle saying here that it is a shame for a man to put a covering when he goes to the place of worship. He is not talking generally about how men or women should appear, but he's talking to that custom at Corinth, where women who don't the veil depict them as women. And men who are not supposed to put on covering in their head to show, to distinguish them as men. So here he's emphasizing that the Christian believers need to adhere to that existing social custom that depicts women's modesty at Corinth. So, first of all, they all can know how so far. If you're so far, you are also a woman who said, Oba, to the swimming water, I hear the Yaman. As a bear man, swimming water, I hear the Ubassian. Now, Mr. Ofa, I did have to win here, sir, Oba, or sir, you'll be a pop of Katar, it's just so. For it, for I just say, you I'm a farmer, I'm a father. No, so, or friend, or you see, example where they are strong, you say, send the almost custom, a tier, or some of them manages Apostle Paul, you may tell us, you know, on Catholic and other watches, Christopher Yamba, on Catholic. In the Bible, which is a bar, and dressing, I will versus the last week, you can't know, you can't even miss my bar, this is my song, but culture, the I of how I'm bar, express or more, and bar, ah, almost a shed, on one brass, and yet, maybe I'm back at home to a chest. At Corinth and the Greek world at the time, no, they are there, and my atom Jesus, and our uncle public, and they are there, the Jesus, whatever is from us, and you decide. If you say, they say, about four years, I shall say, okay, I said, them I can tell you to swear, and you will say, but I'm back and you know. And because of Old Testament, you know, high priestly priest, no, I was a more powerful year, you know, as long as you know, some atom Jesus. They are there, they fair and shame and you know. See, now, I mean, almost synagogue, Israel was synagogue, even up to today, So, Apostle Paul, on trend, and Tadia, Berman, over ancient, and because it was all I can tell from the Tadia. And Corinthians, customs, now, and bar from some Catholic tissue. I, Christopher, if you say, oh, yeah, it's almost a 20, I don't know, when our car was also powered in 3 meetings here. Yes, in the young man of Bema, or didn't you say again? Oka, I did. I said, yes, yeah, or sir. Because we are common, I do mean, you say, or I just said, so many so or so bars or so catalysis in the sun or so, because I own postal. I own. It's a way out, I said, idea. By so being himself, also a member of the current or the member of the three, and said, member of my head. So he just added on to what he has said before, and he added 16. But if any man seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, that the church is of God. And so, well, it seems that some also in the church, and whatever he has been saying is to. Tell this people who may be opposing that, well, women don't have to well, they failed because they are Christian. Maybe they were women who were opposing it. No, when we come to church, we ought to be free, we ought not to put a veil. Apostle Paul is trying to tell them that he has given enough reasons why they ought to be in the same way how women dress in Corinth, even when they appear in public worship, they ought to keep that standard. And they should not think that Christianity, because they are Christians, they are free from that custom. So he's telling them that if they still continue not to be satisfied by the reason he has given, then there's nothing. That the Christian church or Christianity has no such attitude where the social standard, which is not against God's way, is thrown aside, you know. Because that distinction between men and women is because God, I mean, it's God wants, it's a natural thing that God wants it to appear. So, Christians, don't throw it away. So, that at Corinth, if her cavern, I mean, teaches that, women don't need to throw it away because her cavern is modest, you see. They don't need to throw it away. Maybe some in the church may still oppose. So, if anything to be contentious. Maybe there will be still some, well, of course, we have said it, but still we will not agree with him. He says we don't have such. The Church of Jesus Christ adhere to social customs that are not against biblical standard. So that societal norms, if it is not contradictory to Scripture, Christians oppose it. Said, baby, and if I will be, said, you say anybody to not say no. And then you go for another 7 way Christopher, they get yes, you just we don't bring it down, we don't trade it out because we say, oh no, the Bible of God says it's typical, you know. If it upholds order and modesty and morale, show morality, we uphold it. We don't trade it away because we are Christians, if it is a reasonable thing that it is there, that even if it's a natural order and it's not in contradiction to Scripture, we don't throw it away. You see, we uphold it. You know, even all the duties for Christians, most of them are something that people who are not Christian may even know. You know, but it doesn't throw it away that Christians should have different ideas about. No, it's the same idea, but rather Christian observes those customs with God's glory in view. You see, naturally or commonly, people may observe those things merely for custom. But if it's something that Christians have to observe, and it's a custom of the place or where we live and all that, the Christian has a greater purpose because he's observing it with the honor of Christ, because it's a custom or it's a norm that does not contradict Scripture, and we uphold it as such. For instance, you know the idea of authority. The Bible is, I mean, it doesn't matter where the authority is set up, the Christian ought to be ought to respect authority. Workplace, home, the society, wherever. You see, we don't say, well, it's not in the church, so we don't know. I must forgive how the slaves have to be obedient to their masters, and how servants have to be obedient to their masters, and all that. Apart from the Bible, people know that. You see, it's a common sense. I mean, though they may observe it for whatever reason, but for the Christian, whatever we do it for the Lord. So that if it's a custom, for instance, Africa, we have many customs that are not against Scripture. Okay, in relation to how we deal with people, if we that custom is right, and it's not against Scripture, and it's right, we uphold it. We don't throw it away, because we are Christians, and then we throw those customs away. No. So long as that doesn't contradict Scripture, and so long as it's reasonable, for example, don't even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame to him. But if a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her. There's something natural and common to all, it appeals to common sense, you see. But then, as Christians, we observe it not merely for common sense, but for the glory of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, that's what Apostle Paul is trying to bring into our mind, and that whatever that, because you know, it is sin that has corrupted morality, and the reason why people do something is sin. So, if it's something moral and that is right, we ought to obey. We ought to also give ourselves to that, as long as that doesn't contradict the word of God. May the Lord help us as we think on these things.